Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, November the 16th. Absolutely beautiful, gorgeous day again here in North Texas. We're being rewarded with just some absolutely beautiful, I don't know how else to say it, just absolutely beautiful weather. All I can tell you is that it's just absolutely beautiful, the weather that we are watching or what we're having here in North Texas. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about Texas politics because a couple of very interesting things happened. Beto O'Rourke is going to be running for governor in 2022. And there was also a very interesting party switch down in South Texas, which we'll be talking about a little bit. I want to begin, though, with a couple of quick stories. There's apparently not going to be a verdict in Kenosha today. I guess the jury is going home. They have not decided on a verdict. I have not said a word about this trial so far because, frankly, I don't know what to say. And my only hope is that there's justice. Whatever happens, that there's justice in this case. And, you know, I have some thoughts about it, but I honestly, I also feel like I really don't know enough to share my thoughts with you. But once we get a verdict, I think we'll be able to see whether there was justice or whether this was a show trial. And I hope that there was justice in that particular incident up there. Well, let's talk a little bit about politics in Texas. Beto O'Rourke has decided to come back. As you may remember, back in 2018, he ran a great campaign against Ted Cruz and came within 3 points of defeating Ted Cruz. It was actually the best performance on a state basis by a Democrat in 30 years, 30 plus years. I mean, he just ran a great campaign, no question about it. And part of the reason he ran such a great campaign is because he had a lot of money. And he was the beneficiary of a campaign of money, I should say, that came from Texas and from all over the country because there was just a lot of money out there that wanted to defeat Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was the number one target for the Democrat Party in 2018. Obviously, Trump was not on the ballot, so they focused all of their energy and money to defeat Ted Cruz. So they, you know, the Beto campaign had money like crazy. They were probably the best financed senatorial campaign in the history of the country. You know, everywhere you went in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you saw offices for Beto, you saw signs for Beto. I mean, it was a very well financed campaign, to say the least. The reason that Ted Cruz was able to pull it off by 3 points is because Ted Cruz basically won the election when the votes from the rural areas and especially some of the suburbs began to come in. And then at that point, he won the election. Well, 2022 is going to be completely different than 2018 because the political atmosphere of 2022 is going to be a lot more Republican. And Beto is going to be running against a man who should be in a very strong political position by the time we get to the election. And even though Abbott has some, you know, some challenges from the right, he's got a couple of people from the right who are challenging him in the primary. I don't think that they will defeat him, and I'm still pretty sure that Abbott will get out of the primary in the first round, which means he'll be ready to take on Beto O'Rourke in April or March, whenever the primaries are. And the other thing going for Abbott in 2022 is that he's going to have a lot of money. I mean, he's going to have all the money in the world to run a very in-your-face campaign against Beto O'Rourke. And, you know, what we're going to see over the next or during the campaign is ads very similar to the ones we've already seen. Ads where they take the words of Beto O'Rourke, they show him in a video, let's say, saying stuff like, we're going to take your guns away, or the border is not a problem. They'll take his words and then they'll just put him in the campaign and say, do you want to vote for this guy? So it's going to be a very different type of campaign for Beto O'Rourke, because in 2018, the campaign was basically about personality, you know, his personality versus Ted Cruz. In 2018, I think it's going to be more about issues, because the Abbott campaign is going to force him to talk about issues. I think the other thing that's going to happen in the summer of 2022 is reality begins to sink in the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party, I believe, by the summer of 2022 is going to be cutting their losses and seeing what you know, where they put their money, and you know, where they can put their money to salvage whatever states or whatever congressional seats or senators they need to protect. And they're going to take a look at Texas and say, we're not going to put a lot of money in Texas because Beto is not going to win. So why put in all this money just for the heck of it? And I think Beto is going to find himself, at least with respect to money, in a much different position in the summer of 2022 than he was in the summer and the fall of 2018. And then on the other hand, as I said a minute ago, the Abbott campaign has all the money in the world, and they're going to be just, you know, firing away at Beto O'Rourke. So I don't think he's going to win. Again, things can change. Things can always change in politics. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of people out there betting that Beto O'Rourke is going to win the governor's race here in Texas. Now, the other big story from Texas on Monday was that a Democrat state representative, his name is Ryan Guillen, he's a state rep, a Hispanic Democrat down in South Texas, decided to switch parties and become a Republican. Now, he's a more conservative Democrat, to be fair. He has not always voted with the Democrats in many of their votes. For example, he did not leave Texas back in August when many Democrats flew out of Texas in protest. He didn't do that. He didn't support that. So he's been more of what I would call a center-right Democrat. But nevertheless, he's switching parties, and I think he's switching parties for the obvious reason that it's going to be very tough for any Democrat in South Texas this year or next year to defend the border policies of the Biden administration. It's just going to be impossible to do it. And as a consequence, I think you're going to see a lot of Republicans do very well in South Texas. And some seats are going to flip in South Texas because of the border and the dissatisfaction with the Biden administration, not just on inflation, gasoline prices, but especially in South Texas with respect to the border. So it's all going to be very exciting for the Republicans in 2022. And the news of Ryan Guillen switching parties is just the beginning of what I believe will be a great year for the Republicans. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. I have a post at the American Thinker today, Tuesday, called the Kamala or the Joe and Kamala Show. And it all has to do with stories that came out Sunday night. Sunday night CNN had a front page story on their website that sources, you know how they talk about sources in the White House. Sources on the President Biden side were complaining about Kamala Harris and the other way around, that there was a lot of bad feeling, a lot of bad blood between those two groups. And this is something that we've heard about before. This is not the first time that we've heard about this. And when you look at some of this polling data that shows that the Vice President is actually more unpopular than the President, 38 in one poll for the president, 28 for the vice president. So what you have is a situation where she has become a very serious political liability for the Democrats. So I'm not saying they're going to replace her. That's not as easy to do as people think. I mean, she would have to resign, basically, for that to happen. So I don't think that's going to happen. But I do believe very seriously that she is going to play a much lower role. And I would not be surprised if they don't let her win the nomination in 2024, even if she were to become president because of, you know, any change in Joe Biden. I just don't think she would be in a very strong position in 2024 because people are just not happy with her. And the people unhappy with her are in the party. They're just not impressed with the way she's performed. I think she hasn't taken her duties seriously. And I think that's the problem that more and more people have. Now, in the post that I have over at the American Thinker, I write that what's happening in this administration is that they're overwhelmed by the events. They have no idea of how to manage the events. Events that, frankly, they've created. Most of these events are a consequence of self-inflicted damages, self-inflicted wounds, whether it's the border, whether it's the price of gasoline. These are things that did not have to happen had they kept in place the Trump policies. But they were so crazy about reversing Trump that they ended up putting themselves in the situation they're in right now, which is not a good situation at all. So, again, I don't think they're going to be able to get rid of her, but I think if they could, they would. But I just don't think they'll be able to. From the standpoint of the Constitution, she would have to resign, frankly. And I don't see her doing that either. So, anyway, it's just going to be a lot of bad feelings between these two groups. Now, it's not the first time that the president and the vice president have not liked each other. In fact, that's quite common throughout history because very often these two people come together for political reasons, nothing else. But they usually work together well. And in this case, they're not, apparently, what we're hearing from inside the White House and the sources that spoke with CNN. And I think the White House must be wondering why CNN all of a sudden is turning on them. And if you want to understand that, well, check out CNN's ratings. And you'll see that they're losing. I mean, they cannot get a million. It's amazing. Their primetime programming right now, it cannot get a million viewers per hour, which is amazing. That is totally amazing. They cannot get a million viewers an hour on a primetime basis, which is really bad if you're supposed to be a national news network. You know, we've talked before about the blue wave and the red wave. We were talking before about Beto and why I think it's going to be totally different in 2022, because I think it's going to be a more and more favorable political map for the Republicans. And we're continuing to see information that confirms that. Now, to be fair, this is a year ahead of time, so we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But a couple of days ago, there was a poll that came out saying that the Republicans were plus 10 in what they like to call the generic poll. The generic poll is not a question about a candidate. It's more a question about a party. The question is usually, what party are you planning to vote for in the congressional elections? That's kind of the question they ask. Well, a couple of days ago, the Republicans were plus 10 in one poll. Now, I watched that, and I said, well, let me see more data before I get excited. Well, Rasmussen reports, a pollster who I like a lot because they do great work, and they're very good at what they do, they now have the Republicans plus 13. That is historic numbers. Those are the kinds of numbers that we don't usually see. We may see plus 7, plus 6 in a big year for one party or the other. But when you get like plus 10 and plus 13, what that tells me is the potential for a red wave is just huge. I mean, you're talking here about a wave of 50, 60, maybe even more seats. And that would be, as I say, tremendous in 2022. We'll wait and see. Let's not get excited. But it's looking very good for the Republicans right now. Well, on this day in history, 1907, the state of Oklahoma, our neighbor to the north, came into the Union, number 46 coming into the Union. So we say hello to the good people in Oklahoma. Welcome. Happy number 114, I guess, that is for Oklahoma. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.